Alright, let's do this one more time. I'm Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man. My name is Miles Morales. I was bitten by a radioactive spider. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. You're listening to the number one podcast in education across the Spider-Verse, Steambox. Are those my Jordans?
All right, this is Roberto. You're back with another Steambox podcast. Today, I'm with my steampunks from Central Falls, the Warriors. Warriors, please say what's up to the world.
What's up?
Also with us, we've got from the Women's Project.
Education Fund.
From the Women's Education Fund, not the Women's Project.
Women's Project Education Fund.
The Women's Project Education
Fund. We're in a renaming.
You're in the WPEF.
TWPEF.
TWPEF. All right.
I'm a TWPEFer.
From TWPEF, we've got Alana. Alana, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Steambox podcast. We're happy to have you here. A moment ago, not only are we trying to figure out, okay, so it's the Women's Project Education Fund, TWPEF, but you also said we're the weird ones that nobody likes. Why are we the weird ones that nobody likes?
So we are comprised of artists and specialists in the field. We have people from different kinds of healthcare services in Rhode Island, and people have come to organization from different walks of life. Some people came from like a voting rights like group. Some people have come because they're nurses. And one of our central goals early on was creating art around the idea of bodily autonomy and like abortion access. And that were some of the bigger things that we worked towards. We did a lot with voting rights, but the way that we do it is we go and we set up projections, sometimes calling out like abortion bans are racist, something that makes people really uncomfortable.
Banning abortions is racist. Can you explain that for our audience? Our audience can.
So statistically, especially in the South, the people that are mostly affected by abortion bans are people of color. So depending on where you live, even here in Rhode Island, it's something that a lot of people don't think about as far as the banning, because people who are able to afford, you know, access, they can travel from Texas to other states. You know, they can get what they need.
So that creates generations of inequality, no?
Yeah, definitely.
Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
But at Alvarez High School, I was fighting with Nathan Villa, the new principal over there. His first order of business in the school was to take down the gay pride flag. He said that, you know, it was because the community was outspoken against it. And I'm like, bro, you've been here like one day. How have you polled the whole community? And you know, that's just his own thing. Same thing with cops in schools is something that I'm kind of fighting against, because my students, oftentimes, especially in Providence, they're very much against cops in schools. They're disproportionately like harassed by cops in schools, and the cops are used as goons, not the new definition of goons, but the old definition of goons by, you know, administration. So what's up? Punk to punk.
Yes.
Punk org to punk org. Happy to have you here. I'm going to go around. I'm going to start with Cam, and then I'm going to move on to, I'm going to go around that way. So I'll go to Brandon next. But starting with Cam, by the way, Cam is one of the leaders for our Joyful Rebellion project meeting on May 4th. And if anybody wants more information, go to @SteamboxRI. But also, TWPEF will be there as well. And we're talking about a graffiti project.
Some sort of arts engagement project.
All of this is for wellness. All of this is for mental wellness. Cam, thank you for participating in that. Thank you for being one of the leaders in that. Everybody else should know PBS is doing a special on us. So in the coming weeks, PBS will be here. Be ready for that. Cam, what's your question for Alana?
So me personally, I don't know like a lot about the Women's Project in Schwitase. Fun. Thank you. Sorry. I was listening, but it just went away. But I don't know a lot about it. So, like, now that you just kind of explained some of it, what was, like, the main cause of you guys starting up the program? I don't know if you were there to start, like, to start up the program.
So we are the art faction of an organization known as the Women Project here in Rhode Island. The Women Project is our sister organization, and they pushed for bills around equality, around reproductive freedoms, And we kind of were ones of, we were the people that aided them through the arts. So as the sister organization, we are here to help in like weird art ways, doing the projections, making posters that, you know, like convey ideas through visual arts and performance arts.
How do people usually get involved? How do people, like if people wanted to participate, do you work with youth? Do you go out into the community? Is this community engagement? How do people get involved with your work?
Hi,
oh, and welcome, Jocelyn.
Hi.
ED for TWIPIF?
Yeah.
Okay.
For this capacity, I work with her in the Equal. So we're board members. We're both artists. That's how we came to this work.
You don't have to apologize.
No, I'm like, because she said that there's two halves, all the legal stuff, we're supposed to be like, there's another half. I'm a lobbyist too at the State House, so my job was a day job for this type of work is on the other side of us where I go to the State House and I talk to generals or lawyers and stuff. So that's where I'm an ED. But right now I'm an artist and rabble rouser with
a lot. You're rabble rousing at the State House. What's one thing? Alana spoke a little bit about abortion, some of the abortion legislation being racist. What are some of the things that you are lobbying for at the State House?
So hi, I'm she, her, Jocelyn. We lobby for healthcare being available to everybody equally. So we're kind of going in the route of equal access for all of us to be able to have the info that we need as well as the same kind of healthcare. Right now we're lobbying for making name change legislation easier for folks who are transitioning and going to new IDs. So lots of different pieces. We have led in the place of abortion access, but really being not a racist piece of healthcare. Like wealthy people can get whatever they want. So we wanted to include it in the state insurance plan so that anyone who was a state worker or a Medicaid recipient could have it too. And that was the difference to sort of the way folks were doing it before, which was exclusive.
Okay, Cam had another question.
Yeah, it's for her. I prepped for her.
Yeah.
So before we started the podcast, you mentioned that you work in education with both fifth and sixth graders. How do you like balance this Women's Project Education Fund and the other education fund that you do?
So it's all art. You know, I wake up in the morning, I make art. At work, I'm making art for the purpose of kind of creating this next generation of artists with no legislative agenda or political agenda. You know, we're making art at that very, like, you know, basic level. We do talk a lot at the fourth to the sixth level about, like, social justice art and how people can use visuals and performance art as a means to create, you know, change. So I show a lot of examples of different artists working in the field in that respect. But what I do, you know, outside of work is, you know, these more like, you know, like the rebel rouser type of things, you know, going out after work, doing projections, setting things up, having it kind of, they're both part of the same thing, but one is kind of creating an awareness about how to use art, and the other one is me applying how to use the art.
So you're an art teacher. Okay, sorry.
But I think that's a good question. How do you fit it in with being an art teacher, Alana? We were just talking about this earlier.
Oh, I mean, it's art all day, every day. It's just my life.
And how do you balance it as well? I don't know.
Yeah, that's cool. So I used to be a spectacle-based artist in Los Angeles. And so I got...
Hold it. You can't just drop... You can't drop some shit like that and then just walk away from it. I was a spectacle-based artist.
I just used to do big things in L.A.
What is a spectacle-based artist? Is that like, I can't even imagine.
A spectacle-based artist is someone who goes, hey, I have an idea, and I found a guy who has a hot air balloon. And I was like, hey, could we land your hot air balloon on that yard over there, and we're going to project her artwork on the hot air balloon? Gets the flame alone got people to come. So when you ask, how do we get people to show up? Part of it is they're like, who the fuck is that doing that thing over there? Other parts of it are people like, I want to do something, but I don't want to do it the boring way. I don't want to go to the State House. I'm scared to talk to people. I don't want to talk to people. Like, So that's cool. So Alana often comes up with really easy things that we can all do. I'll make stuff like this that's colorful and bright that you can be a walking billboard if you want. That's spectacle-based. It's like you're just wearing a t-shirt. That sometimes does enough jutts and damage alone. But doing a hot air balloon with projections, having a giant fire someplace, and then people can't not look away. That is spectacle-based art. Projections, spectacle-based art. Mass, like, flash mobs, spectacle-based art. Like, stuff where you get a group of people doing something, move this entire library from inside the library to outside the library in the parking lot, spectacle-based art. You know? I mean, like, it's something that flips something a little bit more on its head.
Okay.
So how did you balance? Sorry. How did you, like, balance? Were you working with the Women's Project?
No. No. I was like, I have this skill. How can I use it to keep an issue in the news? And it was me seeing it as one giant art project. I sometimes still do.
I know this is off topic, but I got to bring Brandon in.
Are you Brandon?
This is Brandon.
Brandon, are you a spectacle-based artist by any chance?
Brandon gets pride. Brandon comes here and he plugs into the school day.
Yeah.
And by the time school is over, he's already thinking ahead to his little brother crawling all over him.
Yeah.
While he just tries to prepare for the next school day.
That's
so
cool.
Brandon gets fried. And he gave me some of his weekend recharge time, and we went to the Penny Arcade Expo. Can you tell our audience, I know this is slightly off topic, and I won't do that a lot on this podcast. Can you tell our audience one spectacle that you saw? I saw less this year because usually they had big things. Like, I think Sega had one year this big monster game coming out, so they had a huge red monster that looked like a big demon in the middle. Did you see any, were there any wild spectacles besides the cosplayers at PAX?
That big, like, castle area, I don't know what that was. I mean, I didn't go to it, but, like, seemed interesting.
The big castle area.
What? I don't know where it was exactly, but.
The Penny Arcade Expo is, like, it's like a video game convention that most of us go to. And yeah, Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony are there and showing off their wares. I wanted to hear you on that. I know I could tell when you're fried. I know you're fried right now. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Please go ahead. Super loud, please.
What is, like, the type of art that you guys mostly do? And also, what style of art is, like, your guys' favorite?
My favorite artwork is when I can, whatever it is, I can get a bunch of people doing it together. So I brought you some posters. We have yard signs. I'm trying to get people to put them up all over the state at the same time. That, to me, gets me really excited because I imagine it like a mass action event. That gets me, my brain excited because that means we're all sort of singing the same song, maybe different harmonies. But so that gets me excited. The hot air balloon got me really excited when I told that story. That was that kind of took me aback. That was, even I wasn't ready for that much fire, frankly. Like, in one place, I was just like, "That was loud.
That was fire.
That was literally, it was literally
actual. There was actual fire."
Yeah, it was actual. Like, I knew that if we put it on the Capitol building, the State House's campus, right next to the State House, I was probably going to get arrested. And I was like, okay, how do we not get arrested as an org? So I went into the State House and I had some relationships in there. And I was like, hey, Secretary of State, would you be willing to come and talk? We'll make a little rally that goes along with the hot air balloon, really, so we don't get arrested. It was like, how do we create something that looks politically charged, but really is so we just don't get the campus or the Capitol Police.
Who are very nice.
They're very nice humans. They are nice humans. We like them.
Have both of you done art time for your art?
Not yet. We have other people. We have had people who have gotten punched.
Oh, white people have it made.
White people have it made. And we have all trained on how to stand in front of folks who are not white so that they do not get punched. And that is part of our commitment to our colleagues.
Dope.
After it's already happened.
But, you know, well, that was a whole different thing. But anyway, we try to not get arrested. We just did an event where we heard a hate group was showing up someplace.
Right.
And we put phone calls into a bunch of people and we were like, hey, if we all showed up in black and we wore white bandanas over our faces, just like COVID masks, and we held signs that said, all kids are loved. with people show up, and 130 people showed up. It was pretty amazing.
Oh. Okay.
And the hate group didn't show up except for 10 of them.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. Like, okay, Alana, what's your favorite kind of art? What makes you excited?
Oh, I mean, I love art. Like, I, you know, like, I.
If you saw Alana right now, she has a t-shirt Navy or Kid made.
Nope. I made this in 1987.
Okay.
I am wearing a original shirt that I made for my dad. I signed it. Yeah.
How did you get to 1987? You have a time machine? How did you.
Had your shirt not.
You were alive in 1987?
Yeah. Yeah. And I made this.
They have no idea that we were from the 1900s. They had no idea that life existed.
It is a weird thing when I say these things, but like 1990. So yeah. So I'm wearing a shirt that I made X amount of years ago. And that's just an example of how long I've been doing art and just mark making, even just like, you know, taking a pencil to a paper when I've taught preschool, you know, throwing paints. The stuff that I do now is, you know, visually and more politically charged. We just had an art show down from Jamestown, and a lot of it, the stuff that I was creating were on Procreate, and it said love, justice, home, Rhode Island. So kind of combining, like, some graphic design.
Glitter.
Love glitter. Broken doll parts and glitter all day, every day. That's... Yep, that's how I live. Glitter. Lots and lots of glitter.
The broken doll parts has me thinking like...
You threw that in. That's so random.
The guy for his... What the kid...
Oh, okay. Broken doll parts.
Yeah.
Sid.
Yes.
Sid from Ice Earth.
Yeah. Oh, 100% Sid, but with glitter.
You're Sid with glitter.
Yeah, I can get you a picture.
No, I have a necklace that I actually took off because I was like, oh, this is like a lot today.
What was your favorite spectacle that you've been a part of?
You're a mural artist.
I do murals.
Mural artist.
I do. I did. There's one over near where the Burger King is on that 95
in Pawtucket.
Yes. Yeah. I did the utility box that says "Make Waves" and it has a woman's figure. I painted that.
Okay.
I've done a couple of murals around the state and then New Mexico and in California. I like big scale things. And then small things. Just really art.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, there could be no, like, you know.
Let me create something.
Yes. I'm making a rocket ship for Wednesday that's made out of, like, cardboard and glitter for the Pachacacha. We're going to have that hanging.
You're in the Pachacacha this Wednesday?
Yeah.
We're not
presenting. We're making a rocket.
They're having us come and
doing our thing. Do what we do best. We're projecting weird art. We don't know. We don't know what we're doing.
Oh, we don't know.
It's gotta be wicker.
My girlfriend got us tickets for Pachacacha. I actually met her at Pachacacha. We did a Pachacacha on the same night.
Nice.
And here we are giving each other hell every day 4 years later.
That's terrible.
But we were thinking about going Wednesday. We have tickets.
There's cake.
Our schedule's wild, but yeah, we're trying to make it.
Yeah.
There will be cake. The cake is a lie. I learned from Portal.
No.
Nope. People are bringing cake.
Anybody know the cake is a lie? The cake is a lie. It's a video game reference from Portal. GLaDOS.
Wow.
The cake is a lie. Do I have any artists here? Are any of you artists?
I have to
ask. He likes to draw. This man draws.
He does like to draw.
Well, I have the drawings because of an art ELO because I failed. I didn't take an art class. But they're really good drawings.
Okay. No, nice. No bullshit. Don't
There's
let him bullshit.
An artist that's bad. It's.
Don't let him bullshit you. He was so proud.
He was the walrus.
I'm proud of you. I don't even know you when I'm
Say it again.
It was like walrus, and I didn't know how to draw walrus, and I just drew him, and it looked good. That's
nice. Fine.
And I think there was another artist. There was somebody who like, qualifies as an artist who was talking about theirs. So he did, like, so he was going around making people pick between the two pieces of art, and so proud that people kept picking his. Am I getting that close to right?
Yeah, because the other dude was talking crazy. He said his art was better.
Well, that's what he gets for talking shit. That's what he gets to talk.
He sold this for money, so honestly, it probably was.
He can sell anything for
here's
money.
Here's one of his artwork. It's a photo of him.
Oh, Brandon?
Brandon. You can pass it down so he goes.
I love that. Is that an HB number 2 standard trading pencil? Or a B?
So, Melanie, how come you didn't volunteer yourself when I asked if we had any artists?
Hey, Melanie. Tell me more about your
group. What? You can't draw?
I can't draw.
Melanie's lying to you right now.
What?
Was it not Melanie? When we played, like, Monstrosity, like, her monster was better than the picture single time. Like, she's sick. She's sick with the art. And for her to, like, I don't know if you're being modest or anything.
Well, I was going to say, you know, sometimes art is for people to be vulnerable. Like, you put yourself out there. And I think there are certain folks, and you might not be surprised to hear this about us, that we're not so shy. Look at what we're wearing. She's got hot pink in her hair and on her nail. Like, I'm wearing leopard print sweater. I mean,
oh, that's so edgy.
I know. God. So cool. I got it at Target for $5.
No, it's the lion's mane. That's your spectacle right now, is the lion's.
It happens. I have Leo falling or something as a sign. I don't know if that's a thing, but I heard there's Leo in there somewhere. Anyway, so I'm just going to say, I have a kid who says that they are not a great artist. They do cartwheels around me and being better. I used to teach drawing to college kids. My little human is not more than 11 and outdraws me to the nine. So, but they don't like to say it much because they are rather shy. So I'm going to make space for shy artists too at the table.
They're also developing a board game, and a lot of us were looking at format and how we're going to do things and what the rules are. She just went to work. Melanie just went to work on the actual design pattern of the board, and it looked really good. It looked really good.
I can't wait to see this one, Dave.
That's what they oh, that's a really
cool.
Was his the shoe? Is that
no? His was the cat.
Okay,
but it had like human eyes, so I was creeped out by it.
That is glorious. As someone who
well, you should
deal with a lot
sort of just tossing them off because it's good. You said you just did it your first time.
Yeah, I was trying to rush.
Do I need to come drop off some sketchbooks? I used to do this. I like.
You think we're gonna say no?
Like
only if Melanie promises to share some art.
As long as she doesn't give someone a tattoo, because she tried giving me a Sharpie tattoo and she messed me up really badly.
Well, you got there's a.
But man,
the best way to get
this game monstrosity, right? Like somebody looks at a monster, right? Full color monster and image, and they have like 10 seconds to look at the monster, and then they describe it to the group, and the group draws it. And she was drawing these like really detailed, full detailed monster. Not only is she a great artist, but she's also a great listener, because listening to the person, you know, give those instructions, that was wild. Sorry for talking about Melanie and monstrosity. But, Isaiah, what's your question for the Women's Project Education Fund, TWIPIF?
All right, so my question is, how would you compare the Women's Project to when it first became a thing, compare that to right now, how it's going?
I think that's a Dawson thing.
They were looking at you first.
Okay. Well, I would say we were supporting a lot of goals that, for the most part, we feel like we have done what we can, supporting legislation, supporting the community to get their needs met. And now we're finding that we are entering spaces as an ally, not necessarily as a leader. And that's like the projects that we're working on now are in support of other social justice organizations rather than being at the helm, like taking charge.
I'd say early on, we burnt ourselves out fast because we kind of were sprinting between jobs, between families, between other responsibilities. And now I think we're maybe doing it a little more based on what we love rather than what we have to do, because I thought that we got the thing done that was so hard. It was fought for 24 years before we showed up, and we got it done in 3 more, which was awesome. And we just sort of pushed it over the finish line in some very non-traditional ways, like super problematic in terms of visuals go. But 35 people came to the state house dressed up as handmaids, stood in the state house, walked in like a creepy line through the state house. And there was no, I mean, it's problematic now because that's a super white woman narrative. And we got rid of it after we did it. But we saw that it was so effective that we used it for the length of like 2 months, maybe. And people didn't know how to respond to it. General Assembly members didn't know the story the Handmaid's Tale. And they didn't understand the reference, but everybody found it super spooky that there were just these cloaked people walking through the state house with no faces. And we had women who were Muslim come and say, I don't want to be a face here. I want to hide my face, but I want to be a presence. And we had a Hasidic Jewish person come and praying underneath the robe. Not look like not wanting to be like they did not out themselves in any way, but later they wrote to us and said, you won't know that I was there, but I just want to let you know that meant the world to me that I could do that, and no one knows that it was me. And I was like, that's amazing. If you can give someone a costume or something else. Anyway, I digress. But I think we're doing something now that means a lot because the inclusion flag includes all sorts of different topics. So we're doing a quality-based work where we're like, hey, how do we bring conversations to stuff people still don't want to talk about? And I think before we were talking about abortion, people hate talking about that in general. It's really stigmatized in most places. But now we can kind of be like, hey, how do you continue seeing the people that are othered? And so we're finding ways. And we're working with a lot of different spaces where they're asking us to help them. And that's probably our greatest strength, is us going, okay, the trans community came to us and said, you're allies. You're obviously not LGBTQ. We have a few folks, one trans board member. But we need help from other people besides our people. Our people are in service. They're doing everything they can. We're exhausted. Please help. And we were like, okay, we could get a grant to help make a few projects where we're making hundreds of free posters to hand out all over the place, or yard signs, or some other things that we're about to launch. So I think that that's really rewarding.
How long has it been? How long have you guys been an official org?
7 years. Nope. We have been, I just was reading the history, the beginning of COVID. So how long was that?
2020. It was March of 2020.
Like about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're about 4 years old.
So I was a freshman.
People started getting sick around October, November of 19, but we didn't know what it was. We didn't know that we were in deep trouble until March.
Yeah. So we did, the government would claim that we're 4 years old.
Okay. And it took you how long to come up with this acronym, TWPEF, TWPEF?
It's a horrible acronym. And just put on the record, we're going through the discussion of renaming ourselves that sits better as to what we do and how we do it. But I don't even know.
Yeah. I have a survey. I put out a...
What are some leading candidates?
There's a lot. If you want to share your views, and we are in phase two.
Are we?
Moving on to phase three of our name change DEA-like movement.
We're going to pitch new names.
I would. We
love that.
Well,
love
it. Do you? I mean, I no, feel like, no, I feel like that would be just as good as
no,
what other people.
There's no way this group of mostly boys today. So Steambox is like 60% girls. And this group of mostly boys is going to come up with a new
but
name.
But this isn't a woman thing. This is
it's not. It's not. And that's what I think is the most troubling right now when we're trying to get more activists involved. We're trying to reach out to people in the community, especially now that we're doing so much work, you know, in other communities of which we are, you know, the word woman is not applied.
We talked about our Vegas trip earlier when Cam was here, and something that was very clear was after they made a really amazing interview at one of the schools, but when we went to an esports school after that, they were talking about our team of students who were, that group was all girls, when they were talking about how toxic some of the spaces can be for girls in gaming. The boys that we were talking to at that esports school, group of about 20 people, 17 of them were boys, were like, no, 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 we hate to hear that. That's just not true, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, where you at? Where you at? But meanwhile, touche, right? Because when we're talking about mental wellness, I'm working with a group of all girls, right? So where were the boys at? Now, we do have some boys on that leadership team, but, you know, they're dominated by the girls in that space. So I imagine that a lot of the interests affect women more. I think women probably prioritize them as much as men should, but men probably prioritize these things less. That being said, that's why I'd feel a lot more comfortable if I was with a group full of girls right now. I'd be like, yeah, let's rename this. And no offense to your creative brains, I've already seen the brilliance that they can do. I have so many more questions for you, but Lewis,
what was it the main motivation for you guys to be, you know, like to do?
Louder, please.
What was the main motivation for you guys to do all this?
Well, so for me, as someone who goes to work and, you know, has these students who are making incredible art, you know, they're creating, you know, like camping scenes out of cardboard rolls, or they're drawing, you know, like these beautiful like interpretations of a landscape. So these are these beautiful pieces of art. Sometimes we're drawing, you know, paintings of endangered species. But something that I wanted to do was use, you know, my skills and use my art to push things that were a little bit more, you know, it was like taboo, something that I wouldn't necessarily be able to do in like the K-12 educational setting. So that's what I'm really liked doing, you know, using words like, you know, like the four things that wouldn't fly in a sixth grade, you know, like art space, and being able to do that and include the community through, you know, helping me create these giant sculptures or printmaking. So having other people that don't necessarily consider themselves artists kind of participate in that too.
You mentioned by any chance that you were also in roller derby.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So I have a skill of roller skating if you ever need someone to also roller skate.
I feel like there's a roller skating sculptural project coming. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm really excited.
Do you know what roller derby is?
Just rolling around in a circle, but like it's aggressive.
Yes.
Have you seen this?
It's a competition.
They beat the shit out of each other.
They beat
the shit out of each other. It is wild.
Alana has skills.
I was very good in painting. But also now I'm really good at roller skating. So
are you not?
I did a lot of things.
Are you not afraid to damage the moneymaker? Like, how does that?
Oh, I thought. Yeah, no, I'm good. I have like stitches underneath my like chin, but you know, he's like, yeah. My nose actually didn't used to have this bump, and now it does. But it's fine. But now that I've moved on to other, more safe-ish, like
safe good, yeah.
I want to ask you another question. You talked about. There were some things that you feel like you wouldn't do K-12 environment. And since you're working with mostly up to sixth graders, what's the most like risque?
Sexual wellness is part of pleasure, right? Sexual wellness means pleasure.
Right.
Sexual wellness is pleasure. What's SHIP's acronym? We have an organization that like a what we work with.
Is it
includes
sexual thing, sexual
health.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so our avenue is education.
So the sixth graders that I work with don't get health until they get one trimester of health.
Yeah.
So that's where they fit it all in, and they get that. So there's not a lot of that type of education now, and now less now than ever than when I feel like I had it in fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. We had, you know, like, and then in high school,
right?
So I usually, as far as like what I can tap into, I let my student, when we're doing like open-end projects, I'll let them lead the way, because some of their background isn't as deep as we would think it should be for how old they are.
Totally.
What's your question for the Women's Project Education Fund?
What was your favorite arts project or project?
You're gonna have to go beyond the balloon.
Oh, my favorite personal art project that I have made was something we just made a couple weeks ago, which was a giant flower garland that people helped add flowers to. And then I initially was like, I want to wear this as like a costume piece. Right now it's hanging up in a gallery in Jamestown. We're going to take that down, and we have another show that we're going to put that in at the Graduate Hotel downtown. And so it's kind of, I'm excited about that one because I didn't make it only by myself. Adults that consider themselves not artists helped make it. And now it's touring around the state in these kind of like weird spaces where it's kind of getting the... What's it called when a painting has like the background? Now it's going to, we can say that it has been showcased in all of these like really, you know, important places that you know, a lot of the people that helped contribute to it would have not felt a part of.
What's another cool piece? I don't know if it's my favorite, but I like it for its scale. I always liked making artwork that was huge, and so. We did this thing, which in definition sounds kind of old-fashioned, but we made a quilt, and we had people make quilt squares that were 8 inches by 8 inches. They signed their name, their town, and their zip. And these people all over the state, master quilters, came out of the woodwork and were like, we'll make you this giant quilt. And we made this thing where it was 64 squares to... and furred and square, and they'd be carabinered to another 64 squares. They'd be carabinered. And the more, over time, it was 2 years old, over time, the more people assigned a little square and then was built by these master quilters, this thing grew and grew and grew until we got to the point where we would hang it from the third story of the state house. And the Capitol Police, again, would be like, can you please pick it up? It's in the way. Your thing is getting in the way. And people were furious with us, the state house, because we had this thing that we displayed and it kept growing and growing. And people finally were like, oh, this is a petition. These are signatures of people who are learning a story as to why we're making a piece of sculpture. And they're all telling their friends. We had people then were like, can we have a house party? We want to make our and decorate our own squares. Like, I would have brought y'all coat squares had we were still doing it. Because it was a thing to be like, here's a way to learn about something that's kind of legalese, but we're making it more accessible. And that is still really important.
You know, it's really funny. That was one of the events that I came to when I first learned about the organization. No. And I was like, I don't want to make a quilt square. This is dumb. I'm not going to make a quilt center. I did other stuff and I got involved in another way. But that's funny you said it's like old school and kind of like repetitive.
So because the history of quilts, I don't know if y'all know, but the history of quilts are somewhat grounded here. But they're based on telling the stories of people who died.
Well, and let's be specific, like activist quilts.
Right. Activist quilts. You're right. And they were also used as maps.
They're going to go home later and like to their quilt and they're going to be like, bro, who died? who is this?
No, they were also used as maps that would tell people how to get away from enslavers too. So it's weird.
So she's talking about quilts that led people to their freedom. What was the quilt that you make?
It was literally probably just something my sister, mine, just designed.
But what did she do? What did the teacher do with it?
I think she attaches it everyone else's quilt in the class and just had, like, classes.
It was, like, a little, like, wall. Like, yeah. And they shook a knot to the wall.
Yeah. Yo, I've got it. I've got a better piece.
Yours were, like, 21 feet, right? Like,
it's actually at show. Where can they see this?
It is right now hanging in the basement of the steakhouse. There is a little gallery, which you all should get on the schedule to do a show there. It's the community runs it. The Secretary of State's office does it. They have huge walls, and they look for exhibitions to do of folks in the state. So we called and we said, do you have space?
We can do, let's do a show.
Well,
do
it. Box, top basement.
Before we get to Melanie's question, if we are focused on mental wellness on May 4th, and we're going to do a graffiti project, and I get us a wall, what would that wall do? What would we graffiti on that wall that would signify mental wellness?
What do you think, Melanie?
I'm all... I
go to therapy, and one thing my therapist tells me to do, and everyone to do, just know if you're ever bored or you can't be on your phone to zone out. The teacher says, or the therapist says, to make a mandala, make circles within circles within circles, and have everything be about symmetry because your brain finds calm. So if you're making a circle here, make it here. If you're making it here, make it here on the other side. So, I don't know, throwing out a possible mandala that is y'all's interpretation of the world.
You know, one of the... Did you... All right.
My duty art teacher is making us do a mandala wall, and I hope it meant fillable. Yeah, and then I did it, and I was like, it's not done yet. It's like,
I would see this.
The Mandela?
Yeah, it's a mandala bowl.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is that what you're saying? Not Nelson Mandela.
Different pronunciation. Yeah, different okay. Got it, emphasis.
Got it. Oh. I was confused.
I'm saying it from Tibetan, and I get it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And all I have to do is color it, and then, but it's made out of clay.
Rock on. I'm going to see this. See, as like an art teacher, I'm like, this sounds very exciting.
Melody, does that sound like it would jive with your brain? I don't want to give you ideas. Like, you are a creator, but I'm just saying it's an interesting way that we could look in a book and be like, what are different methods of bringing con for mental health practices that are visuals that are often used?
I don't know. Con, not Google. You're going to look in a book.
Well, we're in a library around books.
Okay. And just books.
I set up my groups when we're going to do a design project that I want them to be creative. I want to get their creative juices going. I will give them a large paper that's pre-filled with has circles in the paper.
Oh, right on.
And I'll say, you've got 2 minutes. Fill up as many circles as you can. try to make them as different from you can, as, you know, each other or as your other circles, and just see what they come up with. And they're always blowing my mind with, you know, because I would put in a sun, you know what I mean? I put in a sun or some circle logo, and these people are connecting dots and making bicycles and all kinds of, like, yeah, I see it. I like it. We'll have to figure it out. Melanie, what's your question for the Women's Project Education Fund?
Would the younger you be surprised on, like, how, like, what you're doing about?
That is such a good question. Would the younger you be surprised at what we're doing next?
I love that question.
I love it. I just want to sit with that question for a moment, because it brings me so much joy, because it's exactly where I wanted to be, doing exactly what I had hoped I could do.
If you made that shirt in 1987, I kind of think the younger you is down with, yeah.
And I made this for my dad, and my dad was an activist. Both my dad and my mom met in San Francisco at the San Francisco Arts Commission.
Okay.
Being raised with the arts, coming from California to Boston to go to art school to become an art teacher. Like, this is legitimately the trajectory that I had hoped my entire life would take.
Wow. That's amazing.
And one of the things you're fighting for is women's health. What's one of the things your dad was fighting for?
Yeah.
So in San Francisco, the Filipino-American immigrants got their homes taken away. His mom was one of the people who had this really cool old 1906 Victorian house, and they kicked everybody out for urban redevelopment, plowed them all down, created high rises, gave her like $100 for her beautiful house. And so like the systemic lack of housing, you know, like has continued. So there's people in that little community that would have assets of $1 million if for not coming in and taking down those whole communities. So he was involved in that, trying to get back people, you know, housing, things like that. So that was his thing.
Shout out to your dad.
Yeah.
It was historically, San Francisco has a lot of really sad and really triumphant stories as well with the entire Asian community.
Yeah.
North, South, East, and West. So how about you?
That's a great question. Wait, Melanie, can you ask it one more time? Let's sit on this question.
Super loud.
What would the younger you be? Would the younger you be surprised on what you're doing?
She's got notes. She has little notes. How many questions do you have?
I love this question.
Good. Come back to the other
question. I don't think my younger self would be surprised, because I was raised by a scientist who's an explorer. So my scientist dad finds new seaweed and he connects them to microbiology labs who then create new medicine. But my dad's an explorer of seaweed, which was always super snoozy to me. But we always got taken with my parents to explore new coastlines. So we were always making artwork or strange rock formations and land, sand, art. But I never knew until I was in 13th grade, which was community college at the time. I didn't know that I wanted to be an artist till that late. Like, I did ceramics in high school. I sang. I played the saxophone. But I didn't really know that I was confident to have a voice until I got to being a little older. But once I felt confident in having a voice, then I was just like, I want to cause trouble. Like, I was like, use my big hair, use my big loud voice, get me arrested before someone else, learning how to step back when it's not my voice time, but when I can use my body to help get in the way, I try to. I found an art form in grad school that I worked with sumo wrestlers that are the most famous amateur sumo wrestlers in the world that were in LA at the time. And I made giant, giant floors of clay that these sumo wrestlers competed on. And their bodies made giant impressions all over the floor from the competitions. And my team and I would go in and pour down liquid rubber for liquid plastic
It would harden in 24 hours and we'd pull it up. But we'd have these huge performances where people could come and see the most, like, these guys were in advertisements for Subaru, or they were in competitions that people came from all over to see them. And I worked my way through in figuring out how to become their fans and then how to become their buddies. And anyway, so that's translated to being in a place where I moved. I didn't know what Rhode Island was until I got here, and I didn't know that Rhode Island was so broken. Everybody said it wasn't. And I was like, well, if one person can make a change, let me try. And so I started learning to be around women who are incredible, mostly women. They gave me the confidence to.
Which state is not broken?
Oh, that's a great question. They all are. Some are a little less broken. I was super lucky. I moved from super boring Connecticut to super wild and fun Brooklyn to amazing Southern California, which has one of the worst immigrant problems, but one of the most beautiful immigrant communities in the world. And then I moved here. And of all those four places, Rhode Island is the most backward, the most problematic with how it's run politically, because it's still run based on our mob culture. And I don't know. And I haven't been arrested yet. So we'll see. I'm expecting it's coming.
I need hard time stories by the next time you're on.
Yeah, that's
I need your like tattooed tear, all of that.
I'll have had to kill someone in jail.
Joseph, what's your question for the Women's Project Education Fund?
For the people that are in it.
He's cheating. I gave him notes.
Pick the one you want.
Nice and loud.
What do you two spend too much time
doing? That's such a good question. Oh my gosh. Like formatting Google Docs. That's like all the time. You know what sucks about growing up is that there feels like there's a lot more decisions that have to be made. You don't have the gift of just doing. I don't know. Do y'all feel that way already in high school? Do you feel like you can play still? A little bit. I mean, I understand we have to have jobs, we have to secure our family, we have to just get by on food and housing. But do you, I don't know, have you learned how to work play into your lives, even though you're dealing with a lot of classes and a lot of responsibilities?
This call for procrastination, I do.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Actually, yeah, she should be into it. She does like sports and stuff. And
that's a hard point. That was like the monkey in the closet Family Guy thing.
Sports is rad for certain people. It actually helps people get out a lot of stress. All right.
I've got these two new video games, right? Dragon's Dogma 2, which is dope, and Helldivers 2. And I just want a day where I could just play my video games. I just want to play my video games. That's my wellness. When I'm playing Rocket League with my friend in the morning, that's my wellness. That's how I recharge. And I am struggling for time right now. All I want to do is play. My work is in large part play.
Yeah.
But also sometimes to make it really dope, it's work. You know?
Yeah. I think that's what we're trying to do with the Woman Project too.
Yeah.
Project Education Fund is we're trying to work play into hard justice work too.
Okay.
I don't know. What about you? Did you have a? No, it was good. That was good. I'm fine.
All of my leaders for Joyful Rebellion have left the room. There is what, and they're also from across the state from a lot of different schools.
Rina.
But aside from that, do you have any questions for the students in the room? Is there anything you want to ask the young people in the room?
I mean, I
60% of which have their phones out.
Oh no, I mean, my phone's out too. I was gonna ask, can we take a picture with you all? Can we see you're hanging out? Well, I don't know if that's allowed.
Well, we can, but I was gonna say, like, if they feel comfortable, I'd love to. We have these new signs that we're really trying to push out into the community that says, hate has no place here. We don't want faces, but we would love if people feel comfortable getting photographed, just hands and, like, bodies holding that sign. That would mean a lot to us as far as, like, getting, you know, like, used and involved in this.
We normally like hate, though, so.
Oh, no, not our hate. You don't want our hate. We get different kind of hate.
We're dealing with far-right hate. We're talking new Nazi hate.
Yeah. You can participate in the struggle, but not with your face. To do this. Well,
what I would like to do, and students wouldn't have to consider it as an endorsement, but I'd like to if we can, take a photo outside the Central Falls High School thing, and we could bring the signs. Whoever wants to hold up signs can hold it. I'll hold up. I don't mind holding up a sign. Nobody has to, but that's what we'll do for our selfie, you know, our selfie shot. And
well, I have a question.
That'll be the cover here.
So I actually, we talked with you, but we want y'all's permission. Could we be a part of your Joyous Rebellion? Would that be cool? Would you mind having
it? It's not theirs. You're asking a bunch of randos.
But they're not going to all of it.
They are. Most of you are signed up already, I think.
On the pod. Yeah. Right in.
I have discussed it with the leadership team. I think they're excited to do some of the graffiti.
We're in charge of graffiti.
Would you guys do some graffiti?
Please join us.
Does anybody know how to graffiti? Is anybody like okay with graffiti?
I'm not reading them.
Alana's going to be teaching. Alana's
but
teaching.
Might be from CF, though. They're out.
What does that mean?
They have
a very underdeveloped public art program. So if you're tagging things, you're just supporting public art in CF. That's on the mayor for not doing.
Cheating.
Yeah, Maria.
Maria, come on.
I hate to be so easy, but I feel like. You know how, like, I'm the hipster thing that, like, I was all about it way before everybody else was all about it. But, like, I've been tracking Banksy since, like, 03 or something like that.
Yeah, I did too. I was in Glasgow when he was there.
Well, so much of that stuff. Who do you guys follow? Who do you look up to for artists?
Ooh, I love that.
Oh, I don't anymore. There's not an artist. Walk down the street. I like that. Like, you know, I like that tag. I like that, you know, I love driving down 95 and seeing the train cars because it's always different. And it's like looking at a mural, especially when you're in traffic, is this beautiful, you know, like train car mural graffiti piece that's ever changing. And that's, I think, way better than a lot of the stuff that cities are, you know, grant funding.
Do you have a favorite artist?
I mean, it changes almost every week. But right now, her name's Lisa Cockton. She's out of Portland. She's a piker. She's a queer white woman. And she does illustrations that are giant blocky letters. She's all typography. I used to teach color theory. I used to teach typography. So my design brain really plays.
Our next podcast is going to be on color theory because I want to learn all about it. Where can people find out about the Women Project Education Fund?
We have a website. Which is not an easy name because it's...
Just go to our Instagram.
Yeah, that's true. Go to our Instagram. It's way fun. And it points to our website.
How do we get to your Instagram?
TW, right? The Woman Project H.
But what's got her?
X. Yeah.
This is why we're in phase 3 of rebranding and...
Yeah. Our name, you have to put the in it. The Woman, WOMXN Project, PROJECTHQ.
Okay. Why X in women?
It was designed to be inclusive. And when we started, it was. But now the X is actually felt to be very exclusive. And that is absolutely not our hope or wish.
How did that happen?
Language is slippery, as we all can agree. Some days it's going to mean one thing and the next day it can mean something else. But there's a lot of trans people who feel like the X is othering of them. If you're a trans woman, you want to be seen as a woman. If you're a trans man, you want to be seen as man. We put the X in there so men thought that they could be a part of it, too. It hasn't quite worked that way.
Okay.
So we're moving with the language. We're moving with the time.
Okay. Find the Women Project Education Fund, the Women HQ.
Women Project
The HQ. Women Project HQ.
And if you have any suggestions on new names, DM us.
And I will say that, for the creators that are listening, for the creator that's here, the creators that are here, we pay artists to do work with us, too. If there was a project you all had that you wanted to do, we would love to talk to you more about it.
Okay. All right. This has been another project from Central Falls Warriors. Steampunks from Central Falls, please say peace out to the world.
Peace out.
Thank you to the Women's Project Education Fund.